This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As a team, the Lions have just 20 sacks on the year. In addition, they've only intercepted three of the 382 passes opposing teams have thrown against them this season. That's easily the worst ratio in the NFL. Monday Night Football tonight will head south to Mexico City as the Los Angeles Chargers clash with the Kansas City Chiefs. That game kicks off at 8:15 over on AM 1270. Michigan quarterback Shea Patterson earning the nod today along with Wisconsin running back Jonathan Taylor as the Big Ten's co-offensive players of the week. Patterson threw for 384 yards and four touchdowns in the Wolverines' win over the weekend against Michigan State. A pair of local teams will hit the hardwood this evening as number 3 Michigan State takes on Charleston Southern at the Breslin Center, while Oakland University will tangle with Hartford at the arena. Under a proposal from officials with Major League Baseball that would streamline the current minor league system, the Tigers' tie with their AA team, the Erie Seawolves, would be one of 42 agreements with minor league clubs that would be eliminated. The plan, which was laid out recently in the New York Times, is seen as a way to reverse the recent decline in attendance and in interest in Major League Baseball, in Minor League Baseball. At the Ticket Update Desk, I'm Tony Ortiz. For more, stay tuned to 97.1 The Ticket and radio.com.
So what are they thinking they would do?
It would streamline all the teams. It would basically be each team would have one team in AAA, and I know the Tigers already have a AA. Erie would AA affiliate, but they would shift that affiliation to another AA team closer to Detroit.
Than Erie,
yes. I'm not sure. Or they would move a single A team up to double A, possibly, Michigan.
Look, if they're shifting things around, the idea that like maybe make the Lansing Lugnuts a double A.
It's a possibility.
That would be great. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they can do that necessarily, but we grew up in an era where the minor league affiliates were all pretty far away, and they've already started to bring them back.
Yep.
But I like the idea of, if that's what they're talking about, Erie's not that particular far. I'd go to a lot more, though, if it were Lansing.
Erie's, 4 hours away?
Yeah.
You got ish. Toledo, which is an hour.
West Michigan, 2 hours.
2.5 hours away. Obviously, Lakeland is the one that's far away.
Yeah. So if they're talking about bringing everything closer,
they are.
Okay.
As a way to basically cut costs and streamline everything, and more importantly, to get people interested in minor league baseball, which has really seen a fall off in attendance and interest in the last
Lansing,
couple of years.
The Lugnuts they're not with the Cubs anymore, are they? They're with the Dodgers?
I forget who's who now. I mean, if everything changes.
The Great Lake Loons might be the Dodgers.
Which,
if you're going to move them from there to somewhere closer to L.A.
Right.
Would make sense. And give Detroit the Loons, the Lugnuts, the White Caps, and that would work for me. And in Toledo, that would be great.
Now, that doesn't mean Erie goes away. Erie can still have a team. They can still be the Seawolves. They would just be
change
part of
their affiliate to another team.
They could either do that, or they could become part of an independent league.
Well, that's way more baseball than I thought we'd talk today.
Pretty much.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate
no problem.
It.
Let's keep it going.
Yeah. Because that season's going to be great. Champ and Chump, get your votes in. 248-539-9797. Ticket text 97136. We got Lions stuff that we've been kicking around. Let's get to the colleges. Michigan and Michigan State. We'll start with the good. This is always a tricky thing to talk about because obviously there's going to be people in Detroit that are ecstatic with what happened on Saturday and people are just wildly pissed off. So sometimes we try to compartmentalize the topic. But, Michigan, it looks like it's all coming together. The offense was outstanding. Josh Gattis, the offensive coordinator, the new offensive coordinator, clearly attacked Michigan State's pass defense. He said earlier in the year, he said, look, I've been through these transitions before. It takes some time. I don't know when it's going to click, but it's going to click. And they've averaged 38 points per game their last five games. They did it against Penn State and Michigan State, who have top 20 or top 30 defenses in the country. They didn't have one 3-and-out on Saturday. Not one 3-and-out against Michigan State.
Will Hart was unbelievable.
The punter?
Absolutely unbelievable. One punt and 47 yards.
Yep. Don Brown's defense is getting better with two pretty big challenges looming. Indiana is the ultimate trap game. Everybody knows it. Maybe because there's so many warning shots across their bow, but they're college kids. The idea that they're going to have as good an effort this coming Saturday seems unlikely. It's just whether or not they're going to be good enough to survive.
Well, I would say I might want to caution the Michigan fans on being very excited for a harbinger of great things to come because of what happened against Michigan State. Michigan State has lost quite a few games in a row now, including to Illinois, where they gave up four touchdowns in the fourth quarter. So, being able to pass against Michigan State is nice for Michigan, and they set records for, Shea Patterson set a record for a Michigan quarterback against a Spartan team in this game. But it's not the same Spartan defense that was there against Ohio State or Penn State. This is a decimated team with injuries to two of their top three defensive players. Not injuries, I guess. One's an injury and one was out for suspension. They better watch out. Indiana is no joke. Yeah,
Indiana's
and
good.
That could be – it's a classic – classic trap game.
There's no doubt about
Absolutely a classic trap game, and Indiana can play.
This is a survive in advance. Michigan's gone to overtime the last two times they've been down there. Indiana gave them problems last year. It's one of every fan base knows what it's like. The one team that you feel like shouldn't give you as much problems as you do, but there's always a team on everyone's schedule that gives you headaches. And, if they can just get past that as healthy as possible and get to the Ohio State game without another loss, and then play that big rival and see if you can pull off the upset.
Peyton Ramsey threw for 370 yards or something like that against Penn State?
Yep. And he kind of lost his job to Michael Penix before he got hurt. Stevie Scott is really good. Defensively, they're no longer a joke. So they better show up. Now, they're also not the Patriots. Like, I don't want to get carried away,
no.
But they can be dangerous. And then the other side of the coin is Michigan State. Your comments, your thoughts on the Spartans.
Well, it's a mess right now. They can't get out of this downward spiral, although they probably should the last 2 weeks, given who they're going to play on their schedule here the last 2 weeks of the season. But that Illinois game, it just has repercussions. I mean, to blow that game the way that they did, you have no confidence going into the Michigan game. You don't have your middle linebacker because of a stupid decision that he made. You come out and both teams are slugging it out. It's actually a pretty good football game for most of the first half. And then Michigan State just can't handle it. They lose their composure. It makes some dumb mistakes on the field. And next thing you know, that score just explodes and it's out of control. And there were some embarrassing parts. The Panishuk hit on Shea Patterson, he gets kicked out of the game. There's no excuse for that. That's embarrassing to see that. It's one thing to have a late hit on a quarterback. It's another one to have a really, really, really late hit on a quarterback. Made no sense. The officials were doing their best to try to limit any of that stuff. I mean, they threw flags for taunting. I hate the taunting flag, but whatever. They're trying to stop it, and they threw it on both teams. And the late hit out of bounds early in that game. Look, they're setting the tone. We're not going to put up with this stuff. So there's no excuses for what happened with the officiating. They were going to call it tight, and it happened to both teams. Michigan State just didn't have an answer. They didn't have an answer with the depth in their secondary to match up against Michigan's receivers. You knew Michigan's receivers were good. The Spartan defense has not gotten after the quarterback much at all in the last several weeks. They just haven't. And despite Kenny Willekes being a pretty good player, Raekwon Williams is awesome at stopping the run, but they don't have much of a pass rush outside of generating a blitz or if Willekes can beat his guy, and they just weren't doing it often enough. Patterson carved him up, and it's the defensive side that's just – I mean, both sides are a problem. But on the defensive side, you just shake your head at it, and it's lack of depth. They're just too young at this point. You look at the offensive side. I mean, by the end of the game – you've got three true freshmen that are playing on the left side of the offensive line, which I wanted to see because I'm encouraged by that. These true freshmen are supposed to be good. Let's see how good they can be. And the left side of the line wasn't a problem when you're watching the end of the game. It was the right side of the line that has the experience, and those guys collapsed. And there's just not a whole lot to like. The quarterback isn't good. The special teams were awful. You had the punt block. Big returns. Just – it's just a mess out there right now, and they're going to have to really circle the wagons, get after it, and win the last two games to go 6-6 on the year, probably play in Detroit, and have a chance to go 7-6, and at least I hope to send their coach out a winner, because I don't think Mark D'Antonio is coming back.
You don't?
No. It's his decision, and I don't think he's coming back.
So I think this for Michigan State, there's a debate now amongst fans about, you know, do you let D'Antonio, if he wants to stay, does he get to stay? Or do you go want to go a new direction? And I think it would be a lot easier to endorse a new direction if there was any reason to have any idea of what Bill Beekman was, the athletic director. I think leadership up there is lacking. And Beekman had no experience in athletics before he took over. Lots of experience at Michigan State. But is he the guy in charge of a search?
Well, I don't know. It seems like every university, when they get into this situation, that they hire a search firm anyway. But I do think that you should have a council of well-respected sports people to help you with that. And if, you know, if Mark D'Antonio is going to step down, I hope that he lets the university know this so they can all get together, and that D'Antonio is part of this process along with Tom Izzo.
Izzo's going to play a huge role in it if nothing else changes. And yeah. I have had a chance to talk to people about what search firms do. Search firms are basically there to separate people from the process. You call people who are under contract. The search firm calls the agents and says, would your client be interested? Okay, we need to see the contract. You know, they do all that legwork, and then the university generally makes selections, but they are doing all the legwork so that when Matt Rhule is asked if you had contact with Michigan State, Matt, or has anybody contacted you, or are you thinking of leaving, he can say no.
Who's the coach of Baylor, right?
Yeah, but you know, I just grabbed that name out of thin air. But you are separated from the process, but the schools know, okay, here's his contract, here's his buyout, and he is interested.
Effectively, they give you a database.
Yes.
And then you could look at that database, and you get a feel for, okay, these guys would be, they'd listen. They'd be willing to listen. Okay, now we've got a look at five coaches that are willing to listen. Which one do we like the best? And then you can go through and then you go through an interview process and figure it out.
Patricia, Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. We also talking to Michigan State, Champ and Chump. Get your votes in for Champ and Chump on a weekend. 248-539-9797. You know, Michigan fans, you want to get in and talk about this team's last two games and what you think of the progress that they've made so far. Feel free. Meanwhile, Michigan State fans, it's basically, do they stick with D'Antonio and a program that seems to have lost momentum completely, or go with a Beekman-led coaching search, which also sounds frightening? I don't know what they're supposed to do. I really don't. Based upon, in large part, you know, who would be in charge of the next hire? Maybe he'd get it right. I don't mean to kill the guy, but it feels to me like there's no way of knowing what he would do. But Gator, you said you are under the impression that D'Antonio is going to step down.
Yes.
Now, he's got a huge bonus due in the middle of January. Is that correct?
Yes. I think it's a $4 million bonus.
Do you think he waits to get his bonus and steps down? Do you think
he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that would do something like that or force that action to happen. I think if he were to step down, there'd probably be a negotiated bonus anyway. Kind of a parting gift, but look, I have no information. It's my gut and by reading the tea leaves, if you will. I just think the way that he has kind of answered questions and press conferences, and he doesn't seem very vigilant about, I'm here next year. Shut up next. You know what I mean? He hasn't taken that kind of approach. It's been that, well, you know, I'm just worried about the next game and stuff like that. So I think that kind of approach has me thinking that. The other thing is this. When everybody wanted changes last year, and rightfully so, the changes to the staff, and he just changed their positions, kept the same staff. They were all, reportedly, they're all on these one-year contracts. Well, here's the 1 year. It's awful. He got his opportunity to stay loyal to his coaching staff for a year, and it hasn't done anything to put Michigan State back on track. So I think that's the other thing. To think that, okay, now we're going to give him another chance, but he's going to have to go outside of his loyalty base and do it. I don't think you do that, and I don't think he does that either. It's just I think that he'll step down at the end of the season.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, because if he stays, then he's clearly going to have to hire some new members to his staff. Right?
Without a doubt.
And I don't think you're getting any coach that has a really good track record unless that coach's hire comes with some promises. I had the crazy idea 4 or 5 years ago, and I thought it was a little out-of-the-box thinking, but I wondered if college sports was going this way because we had hires and people who were deemed coach-in-waiting. In one case that I could think of, Matt Painter at Purdue with Purdue basketball was hired to Purdue as the coach-in-waiting for when Gene Katie was going to hang it up. Will Muschamp at one point, I believe, I don't kill me if I get this wrong, but wasn't he the coach-in-waiting at Texas and then bailed anyway and took another job? At Florida, whatever it was. But the point is, I thought Michigan State should hire P.J. Fleck as their offensive coordinator and make him the coach-in-waiting. Would he have agreed to that? Now, to get any kind of credible coach, if D'Antonio stays, I almost feel like that guy has to be named the coach in waiting because I don't think anybody coming here would feel like, well, Mark D'Antonio is going to be around for 5 or 6 years and I can really do some work. They'll feel like this could be over at any time. So you almost have to go out and try and find the next young hot coach, which is obviously next young hot coordinator, somebody else's running backs coach or quarterbacks coach that comes in to be your coordinator. And it could work, but it doesn't feel like you're going to go get any, big game hunter to come in to be your OC and DC, much coveted guy because they have to be worried about their long-term job security.
I don't think that's happening. I think he's going to step down. I think that they're going to have to pay the next coach too. They're going to have to, if they want to be serious about winning football, you're going to have to pay somebody. And I think the obvious candidate checks a lot of the boxes is Fickell, Luke Fickell at Cincinnati. Remember him from his days at Ohio State. Mark D'Antonio coached with him for a little bit. They had a little crossover there. And he was the interim coach between Tressel and Urban Meyer. Didn't have great success when he did it, but he's taken over a Cincinnati program, and I think he's won 20 games over the last 2 years. He's done a hell of a job there. And he's got all these Midwest ties. He recruits the hell out of Ohio. He's actually beaten Michigan State out for a few recruits already this year. I think that would be a pretty good choice. And I've seen others endorse that as well. But obviously you can't do anything until D'Antonio makes his decision unless he's already told people behind the scenes, this is what I like to do. My nightmare scenario, though, is that Fickell's the guy, and yet they don't pull the trigger fast enough in doing so. Cincinnati either signs into a long extension or he gets hired by somebody else to take over their program because he is a hot name right now.
Well, I did some research on Fickell because that name is obviously near the top of the list. And there was a story out of Cincinnati about how he won't leave Cincinnati unless he thinks it's a great, great job. He turned down Louisville and West Virginia after last season. Would he leave to go to Michigan State? Would he see it as a better chance than Louisville or West Virginia, given Michigan State's current situation and being in the Big Ten East and how tough it is to win? And some people believe that he is fully waiting for Ohio State. Ryan Day would only, I think, be leaving to the NFL, and that would have to move quickly. But I think Fickell would make sense. And the question is, can you get them?
Well, Michigan State's a better job than West Virginia or Louisville. We'll start right there. It's a better job. Is it tough to win in the Big Ten East? You betcha. But you want the challenges. You want to be able to play the big boys because it's a double-edged sword. You want to be the best, you got to beat the best. It's like, would you not take a job with an SEC school? I mean, it's the SEC. You got to look at it. Michigan State has had great success with Mark D'Antonio as the head coach. More success than West Virginia has seen or Louisville has seen. So it's still a very good job to have. Now, is it good enough to lure, the coach away from Baylor? Probably not. They got a pretty good situation there, Baylor. If I were him, I wouldn't be going anywhere. Use this to recruit and win that conference and find yourself in a playoff. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you're at Cincinnati, you have no route to the playoff. And really, it's a resume-building school. So build it up. Hopefully things work out, and you know Michigan State makes the right hire, whether that's Luke Fickell or somebody else.
248-539-9797, Matt.
Do you think he's going to stick around?
At Cincinnati?
No. Do you think Mark D'Antoni will stay at Michigan State and come back next year?
I don't have any idea. I don't.
What's your 51? You're 51%.
Yeah. I don't think he's going to be back, but it's like you, it's a guess. The one thing you said that makes sense is when he speaks about the future, it never gets past the following Saturday, right? His future is Saturday. That's all he does is Saturday. So it's really, really difficult to know, but that might be the tea leaves. Matt on a cell, you're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Matt.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
I just had a statement, and I had a question, Doug.
All right.
The statement was that, you know, about a month ago on Twitter, Ed Reed, I saw him post something where he said, you know, to all NFL or college coaches, I want to get in, you know, something like I want to get into the coaching game. What do you think about something like that as out of the box? Maybe going after an Ed Reed, who would definitely, I'm sure, could prop people up defensively and then also recruit. Based on his NFL experience, Hall of Fame experience.
Well, he's definitely a name and a name that people would know, but you got to look at the experience factor. And outside of being a player, do you have any experience coaching? Because it's a big jump. I mean, you're talking, and college is so different than coaching in the pros. You know, college, you're worried. You've got kids. You know, you've got schedules to work around with school and whatnot. In the pros, it's a business. It's totally different. So I don't. Okay. I mean, I wouldn't feel comfortable handing any player that has no head coaching experience or any coordinator experience.
Are we talking about his head coach or member of the staff?
Well, if let's say D'Antonio wants to stay, maybe hire him on as a defensive coordinator, the coach in waiting, or something of that nature. You know?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd throw my eggs in the basket of Ed Reed. That hasn't. I mean, I don't. I love Mark D'Antonio. I think it's time for him to go.
Yeah. Well, I know Ed Reed's a leader as well. I just think he might be a good out-of-the-box, you know, someone to look at.
Interesting name.
Yeah. And I have one quick question for Doug, actually. Doug, because I've always wanted to ask this, but you attended Michigan State, but your allegiance lies with Michigan. Is that right?
Yeah, I grew up a giant Michigan fan in Ann Arbor. I grew up hating Ohio State. I didn't grow up hating Michigan State.
Okay. I was just always curious about that.
No, I mean, look, as a kid in the 70s in Ann Arbor, Ohio State was the... was the villain. Kind of still is to this day to me, but.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.